October 13th meeting of the City of Aiken Planning Commission. For those of you who may not have attended a previous meeting, let me share a few guidelines with you. First and foremost, we'd like all of you to put your telephones on mute or turn them off out of respect for whoever will be speaking. We'll call an application, and I will ask for anyone who would like to speak in favor of the motion. Then we will ask for those who would like to speak in opposition, and then anyone else who would like to speak in a rebuttal may do so. When you do come to speak, if you will come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record. All right, our first order of business is approval of last month's minutes. Are there any corrections or changes? May I entertain a motion to accept them then as presented?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Okay. All right, so recorded. Our first agenda item is application 16-60003. It is a rezoning from RML to O, Office and Institutional. The property, the owner applicant, Aiken County Public School District Primary Care Properties, LLC. Is there someone to speak on behalf of this application? If you'll step forward. And I will add, after you make any comments, please remain there for a moment in case any of the commissioners have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Kenneth Grace. My address is 110 Willow Run in North Augusta. I'm here representing Primary Care Properties as well as the Center for Primary Care. We are the folks who are bringing this application with the support of the school board and administration. The application, I think, speaks for itself. We're basically asking for rezoning so that we may build a six-physician primary care office off of Hitchcock Parkway. We're very different than urgent care, prompt care. This is primary care where folks are coming to and bringing their families to see their doc. And we have looked throughout Aiken and believe that this is the location that best suits the needs for our doctors as well as the patients of the City of Aiken and Aiken County.
All right, thank you. Commissioners, what questions do you have?
What are the current plans for ingress and egress on the property?
The current plans for ingress and egress are from Reinhart Way.
Okay.
Mr. Grace.
Yes, sir.
What are the operating hours?
The operating hours of our offices, in this case, it will be 8:30 until 8 o'clock Monday through Thursday, and then 8:30 till 5 on Fridays.
So you will be having extended hours?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And we currently, they're currently practicing in town, so we already have extended hours. It'll just allow us to expand that offering.
And you have discussed with the school board and the school district the issues of traffic, which may, at certain times of the day, pretty
Yes, heavy. Sir. And we actually talked with the administration over there and did a pseudo-study of the traffic patterns, and for the most part, those kids are at school before we start our business, and at any time, we have no more than 20 cars going in an hour to our location.
Okay, the morning, I think, would not be an issue because they'd all be there by 8 or 8:30.
The other time is around 2:30.
The afternoon let-out time. How many cars did you say you anticipate?
About 20 cars an hour. Again, that's different patients coming in to see their physician.
Okay.
And that location as well, where it is situated with Reinhart on Hitchcock Parkway, is a much safer ingress and egress for our patients as well as the staff.
Okay, good. All right, any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you for
then
your time.
Then back to commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman. I would move that we approve the rezoning change from RML to O, I think it's consistent with the comprehensive plan, compatible with the surrounding property and the character of the surrounding property. The school district has obviously bought off on it. They're selling the property, so they understand the situation. So that's my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Okay, this passes. All right, and this will be heard by City Council on October 26th. Our next item is the amendments to the downtown business, the DB zoning district, relative to height of the building. Is there someone to speak on behalf of this this amendment? David?
My name is David Jameson. I live at 7 Woodwind Way, Aiken. I don't know that I'm the designated speaker, but I'm a speaker that's willing to start. Okay. And that's what I thought I would do. First of all, I'd like to thank the Planning Commission for being forward-thinking several months ago and approving a hotel height of 75 feet. That got the conversation started and got us to where we are today. We're asking for a 55-foot height, which is what you have already stated. The current hotel, Aiken, is already at 53 feet and some few inches. It's really about a 30-inch distinction in what's there now and what would be built. And we'd just like to ask you for your support. And I brought a few people with me tonight that do support this. Excuse me. If it's all right, I'd like to ask them to stand up.
Certainly.
Would you stand if you support this?
Wow.
And they may also have some things to say.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for David? No. All right.
We actually approved, Mr. Jameson, we actually approved increasing the maximum height in the downtown business zoning district from 50 feet to 75 feet. That was what we actually did. At the prior meeting, so City Council denied that request, obviously, so now we're back here.
So we're back to the forward thinking group.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this? Okay. So y'all are just good at standing up, okay? Oh, okay.
Good evening. I'm Julie Whitesell. I live at 121 Linwood Drive. I just I went to SEED on Saturday, which is a great collaboration of our community. And my son, Baxter, he's 5, and of course he was given a bunch of stuff. And one of the things was a packet of seeds. And he asked my husband and I if one seed can make lots of seeds. And so we got into a discussion. Jimmy said, yeah, that's one seed can, you know, we can plant it, and then 10 more seeds can grow from that. And then from those 10, 100 seeds. And it keeps running through my mind about this hotel. It's just one small risk, you know, one small seed to plant to impact Aiken in such a great way. I mean, there was such a risk taken, even if we think back to when the plant came to town. It was a huge risk, and I'm sure there was a lot of resistance to it. But there was so much reward from it. And so this one small seed can, you know, it can make a huge difference. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'm Teresa Haas. I live at 810 Fermata Place in Aiken. And I want to thank you again for having the hearing and for your vote on the previous time on this issue. I wanted to mention the Chamber of Commerce's aspirational city tour that about 50 of us went on a few weeks ago. And what we saw in some of these other cities was a vibrant downtown that had the best of everything, in my opinion, the best of business, the best of residential living, and vibrant young people who were a part of that downtown. And I see this effort to raise the building height is going to expand that for our town here in Aiken. So just would urge you to approve the building height again. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this change? Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Wiedemann, 626 Hayne Avenue. There are a couple of points here, and I brought a poster because we had heard at the last city council meeting that it was just 30 inches, which Mr. Jameson reiterated this evening. And it's 30 inches from what we've been told the peak of Aiken Hotel is.
Excuse me, one moment, please. You are addressing the commission,
The
audience.
Okay, my bad.
That's all right. It's just if you have something, we need to see it.
Okay. Well, I had it there. Sorry. So it's 30 inches from the peak of Hotel Aiken. But when compared to the downtown business district as a whole, it's much greater than 30 inches. If you walk down Lawrence Street and look at the buildings, you're going to see the preponderance of buildings between a story and a half and two stories. Add on a decorative parapet, and you're at 35 feet. So to go to 55 feet is 20 feet taller than your tallest buildings downtown. And that's just the roof line. BZA allows for a parapet above the 55-foot roof line. It also allows for mechanical equipment. So we're looking at something much bigger. And it isn't just about the hotel. And ordinance change is all of downtown. And so in that, you are tasked with a comprehensive plan to follow as the guidelines for the development of the city. And it's something that I have read. It's available to all of us online. And there's some really important points in there that I'm going to address for people who have not read it before. The first being in the plan for Old Aiken. Old Aiken must retain its character and remain one of those rare places in which people genuinely feel that they belong. The identity of Old Aiken must not be sacrificed as a result of an inappropriate development or insensitive governmental action. There will be continuing pressure to increase the intensity of land use in Old Aiken, and while some such development will be appropriate, pressures which would compromise its small town character must be resisted. It goes on to further say, for the most part, however, Old Aiken should be seen as a traditional small town, a place where people live at human scale. Within the document, there are also themes that were established for the guidelines and under those goals placed. And on some of these, I can look at them and say, okay, well, I guess this fits. And it actually fits quite well. And one of them being the strong retail in downtown. And maybe this is a little bit far-reaching, but in keeping with the character that we want, it says, encourage small-scale retail uses in downtown while discouraging big-box retail. What if instead of the word retail, we substituted the word lodging? Encourage small-scale lodging uses in downtown while discouraging big-box lodging. In the second theme, it talks about the maintenance of properties and respecting historical buildings, encouraging their enhancement and their protection. And finally, it's one that I don't think that you can split hairs on or there's any inference needed. It's pretty cut and dry. And that's the theme of appropriate design characteristics. And it specifically states in the comprehensive plan, the Old Aiken Master Plan, strict adherence to the 50-foot height limit. So in this, I don't understand why we would move away from it. We have a document that clearly defines, and it's for these pressures when something comes up and we feel we must do it, instead of stepping back and saying, one day, the people in this room wrote the document. They were responsible for its creation, and they said, we have to protect downtown. I go on to further say from there, the qualities that set Aiken apart will need to be protected and enhanced, both to keep its quality of life high, but also as an economic development marketing tool. And while we hear about these wonderful places that sound so strong and vibrant, I've never not thought our town hasn't had any vibrancy lately. It's a wonderful place. And when I look at these plans, towns that you've been to on your magical bus ride, they have higher unemployment than we do. They have higher crime rates, higher cost of living. So why can't we protect what we have and follow what it says in the comprehensive plan, even underlined within the comprehensive plan? One of the keys to success for the area and attracting new employers will be the character of Aiken, the qualities that make it different and special. Planning Commission, I implore you to deny any recommendation for a further height increase. Keep the building height what is outlined in the comprehensive plan until at some point in the future you decide it's no longer relevant.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. In opposition. Is there anyone else who would like? Yes, ma'am.
Will there be a chance to speak in favor again?
Yes, you'll have another opportunity.
My name is Molly Gray. I live at 809 Fermata Place, and I'm using my paper tonight, so I'll remember all I want to say to you.
And be fine.
Members of the Planning Commission, please. I have lived in Aiken since 1951, and I wish to express my opposition to raising the downtown building height from 50 feet to 55 feet overall in the city, and in particular to the Hotel Aiken. There have been many excellent renovations to the buildings in the city that have not required a height addition to make them viable, more architecturally appealing, or in any way enhanced by a height change. Nobody doubts that the hotel is in need of a great deal of renovation, both on the exterior and the interior of the building. It can all be accomplished without more height, but with vision and good taste to make it both attractive and to fit into the charm of the city, if that is truly the wish of the owner. If, on the other hand, it is to be added onto and enhanced merely so it can be sold to a Hilton Hotel or a Marriott hotel chain, I fail to see how that would be a boon to the city of Aiken. A few feet does not sound like much in the scheme of things, but in this case it can make all the difference in whether Aiken keeps its historic charm or gives up some of its uniqueness for the sake of a hotel chain on one of the main corners in downtown Aiken. As a last word, I would like to say that Aiken's economy remaining viable could not possibly depend on this potential height change, as has been touted by some people. Hopefully, your vote tonight will express your feelings for this beautiful city you serve, and do not change the height. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, I think you were first.
Good evening, and thank you for allowing me to speak. I would just like to, I don't know if we're...
Just state your name and address for the record.
My name's Gail King, and I live at 330 Kershaw. And I don't know if you can see out of the window here. But you probably can't the way you're seated, but most of the people in this room can see out of this window. And what I'm seeing out of the window is the most amazing tree line out here. The tallest building on the horizon is the current hotel. There's some things out here I don't particularly like a green corrugated roof. There are some things out here I like a lot. There's been a lot of really good things accomplished in Aiken, some great restorations of old buildings. We're all incredibly proud of our town, and I see it as a vibrant, great place to live and a great place to work. How we can compare it to cities three or four times our size with interstate corridors, international airports, I'm not quite certain. But when you look out the window, people, if we allow this to happen, we will no longer see the trees. And I think that would be a real pity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Hollister Houghton. I live at 322 Union Street. And I'd just like to say thank you. I'm very much for change. I'm not against it. And I don't think any of us who have been speaking in this terms are. We're just worried about how it's happening. I see two things, change on one hand and adaptation on the other. Change to me implies leaning towards what the market wants today. Markets change, and all of a sudden you're left with something that isn't going to work. Adaptation is working with what you've got, with the buildings you've got, working to restore the outsides and the insides. If the market changes, you haven't ruined the downtown. And I plowed through the old Aiken Master Plan last night, and I would just like to back up what she said, that under the goals 15.1, that the strict adherence to the 50-foot height limit. I'm talking about the downtown. I'm not talking about the hotel. That was passed in 2005 by the City Council. I don't think it's a suggestion. I think it's something they felt very strongly about, and I hope we haven't lost that in the last 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Jenny Stoker, 330 Kershaw Street, Southeast. I definitely would like to ask you to not approve this height change. This ordinance change is obviously a direct response from Mr. Shaw's request for his taller addition. But this benefit for Mr. Shaw is to the detriment of the smaller buildings in the downtown district, whether they're on the National Historic Register or smaller places or not. Any smaller structures would be vulnerable, potentially dwarfed, and overshadowed by new buildings or additions that are 55 feet high. I believe I'm right, but I counted 8 properties in the downtown business zone that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Their protection is not just for themselves, but for their environment. And if you think there's going to be no blue sky out this window, if there's a 55-foot building over there, imagine how some of these very smaller buildings are going to be overshadowed by 55 feet. The Aiken Corporation's website notes that Aiken was awarded not only an All-American City Award by the National Civic League, but was also recognized as being one of the dozen distinctive Destination and Preserve America cities, meaning it's a desirable place to relocate. But this designation is granted by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, which is a private nonprofit membership organization dedicated to saving historic places and revitalizing cities. All of the Aiken's planning documents reflect the need to protect the city's historic resources. The city should not simply choose to change an ordinance and allow taller buildings and disregard its own long-standing policies regarding historic preservation in the name of economic development. A 5-foot height increase in the downtown business district has been presented as a minor change. It's actually a 20-foot change, as the earlier speaker showed. I know that if passed, the new height ordinance would not ensure that just any 55-foot project would be approved. We've been assured that the Design Review Board would have the final approval on appropriateness of height on a case-by-case basis. but personally I find that cold comfort. When I consider the Chesterfield side of the URS Playhouse is a two-story mass of green corrugated metal that somebody approved. The Olivet house was demolished to make room for parking a few cars. Somebody approved that. And one of the grand old houses on Colleton now boasts a shiny black metal driveway gate that would be more appropriate for an industrial site. And somebody approved that. I really think that there's skepticism and resistance to the increased height, in part based on the lack of transparency about other projects, which are rumored to be piggybacking on the hotel's height increase. We've heard that why the height, the hotel wants 5 extra feet, but what are the other plans, and why is the extra 5 feet really necessary? And what terrible fate awaits us, or Mr. Shaw, if you recommend that City Council deny this change and adhere to the 50-foot limit? Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Any of the points of, excuse me, I'm Margaret Marion, 118 Aberdeen Drive here in Aiken. Many of the points I would have made have already been made, but I am puzzled by one assertion that's been made, and that is that there's only 30 inches. Not by any stretch of the imagination is it just 30 inches. I'm not even talking about the 20 feet difference. But the definition in the zoning ordinance of building height says that you, for a peaked roof, you measure sort of from the midpoint. For a flat roof, you measure from the roof surface. The 30 inches came into being from the very peak of the highest point of the Hotel Aiken to the bottom of the roof, of the flat roof of the proposed addition. It was not counting the parapet, which in the plans that were submitted for the BZA meeting look like they exceed 6 feet in height. So we're talking visually something that's probably more than 5 feet, possibly a good bit more. So please disregard that it's only 30 inches because it's not. It's either 5 feet or possibly more, or it's visually even more than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone else who would like to add any other comment? Yes, sir.
I'm Will Williams, and I live at 103 Cheltenham Drive. That is outside the city limits of Aiken. However, I am President and CEO of the Economic Development Partnership, and I would like to speak favorably on raising the height. We have many C-level executives and members of their teams coming through this community on a regular basis as we try to attract new industrial prospects to the industrial parks in Aiken, Edgefield, and Saluda County. They choose to stay in Aiken. Currently, they have two options in which they can stay, which aren't always exactly what they're looking for. So we take them to one of our nice restaurants to eat and show them Aiken, and then we have to put them in a car and drive them out on Whiskey Road, which we all know looks like anywhere USA. What better opportunity to have a very nice hotel, have three options in our downtown for these executives and people that are considering our community for an investment to be able to stay, park their car, walk, and say, hey, we want to come back here. We'd like to call this place home. Everybody in this room lives here. We love this community greatly. We are very prideful in it. Some of us want it to stay the same. Some of us want to have some minor changes, and I do believe that you can have minor changes and not do any harm to downtown. So again, I ask you to support the height change.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Hollister Houghton, 322 Union Street. I would just like to reply to his about where do you put up people who come to visit. The Carriage House new buildings on Pendleton Street are going to have at least 30 more rooms that people can stay in. That's been a very successful business, very attractive. Obviously, they've managed to expand that much. And the total height of that building is 46 feet, 6 inches. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Jeffrey Jordan, 130 Robinwood Drive and 222 The Alley, which we can see right out of these windows here. The Hotel Aiken isn't just about a family trying to build a taller building. We can beat somebody to death with the parapet and the size into this and into this, and we can refute whether or not it's 2.5 feet, this kind of thing. What we're looking at is a fundamental change in the way Aiken does business. If anyone in this room thinks that we're winning out and winning and retaining young people here for jobs and gaining new businesses, look around. We're going to protect downtown Aiken until it's empty. We should all get out right now and go on a magical bus ride tour and look at the empty buildings downtown. Every other storefront is empty. How long can we tolerate that? How long can we expect people to put investment into an aging infrastructure without new infusion of capital, with blood, with people willing to take a risk and open a business down here? You know, we're busy. My restaurant is busy, really busy, Friday and Saturday nights. And at the last council meeting, we talked about we need business down here on Monday through Thursday. It's not easy running a business today, people. We're competing against box stores. We're competing against, and other retailers are competing against, the Internet. I mean, look at the Aiken Mall. It's been killed by the Internet. Businesses change. The master plans that people made 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you have to continually to change what you're doing or you're going to go under. And we're going to sit back and we're going to tell business people what they can do as far as what they should do, when we really don't know. You know, the Shaws know everything there is to know about the hotel business. Been in it 35 years. They know what needs to take to make a hotel run. If you folks go out of town, these folks go out of town, and you Google a hotel, most people don't stay in independent hotels. They stay in chain hotels because they know what they can expect. The chain hotel is going to have a criteria that they have to adhere to. They're going to have a maintenance standard. It's going to be a beautiful downtown addition. But it's not only that. It's not just the hotel. It is changing our attitude and competing with some of these places that we have to compete with who've already made those changes. Nobody's getting on a bus and coming to Aiken to see what we're doing. We're having to go someplace else to get ideas. What if Aiken were that town that people came to get an idea from? The Marion Street tree. It was deemed by the city months ago that it needed to be cut down and replaced. There's an uproar. That's fine. I get it. They want to save the tree. I get that too. What if we had the foresight to take a cutting off of it, go ahead and take the tree down, have a ceremony, take it down, turn it into the souvenirs, and plant a cutting of that tree so 100 years somebody else can enjoy that tree? The thing ended up falling down. The city was right. If we don't take steps for downtown and Aiken, we're going to suffer the same fate as that tree. We're going to try to save that tree, and no matter what we do, the wind's going to blow and it's going to fall over. And then we're going to stand around wondering what the same people that say now, why are you doing this, 20 years from now, they're going to say, why didn't you do something? And that's how people are. So I am in strong favor of the downtown height change, not just so Neil Shaw can build a nicer looking hotel. Has nothing to do with that. It's about keeping this community vibrant, keeping it moving forward, and fill these stores back up downtown and get people working down here, living down here, and spending money down here. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? I see a hand back there. Katie.
I wasn't going to speak, but I'm Katie Lipscomb, 307 Cherbourg.
until we talked about the carriage house then, because I know Tommy went and measured it the other day, and it's actually 48.5 feet. But the bottom floors of those buildings are 9 feet ceilings. The second two floors are 8 foot ceilings because she needed the extra height. There's no way that a person that is not money bags can go through the BZA. And number one, I don't think you can win if winning is a term because of the profitability clause. And to fix that, you got to go to the state. So either we need, I mean, if you have any aesthetic change to your building that makes it look better, that's a profitability. You're going to make more money. So going through the BZA, I think I looked up New York's housing plan. They said their regulations increase the cost for businesses 35%. And going through that process and every step along the way increases our cost so that we can't afford to do it. But I don't also don't think that it should be a single number, 55 feet. I like to see what makes 55 feet, if it's random. And I care about good design. And when Jenny spoke, she said, you know, they say the design review board can make the height go down. To me, we need to make that process work. Because I think height is design. It can be a great big tall building and be great design and be great for the town. And it doesn't even need to go to the BZA. I don't think fences should be 6 feet and 8 feet either. I mean, if I have a 6.5 foot fence that's fabulous, then give us some leeway. 6 feet plus 10% or something. Because the architects don't just stop at 50 feet. If they need 52 feet to do a good design, we need to be able to give it to them. And 2 more feet, Anne could have had 9 foot floors on all of her floors. In a historic town, you don't build buildings with 8 foot floors. So I don't know what's behind the 55 feet. I'm glad that there's all these people here at the Planning Commission meeting because to me this is where the input should be instead of going to City Council and everybody negating what you all do. And I was all for the 75 feet and fixing the design review board because then that means no businesses have to go through the BZA for something that really is a design issue and is random. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Jason Rabin, 662 Coker Springs Drive. I know y'all have probably heard most of what has been said tonight, so I don't want to deliberate too many other opinions, but I do want to make a couple notes on an executive summary that the Aiken Corporation and Aiken Downtown Development Association has received back. This can obviously be given to you guys as soon as it's finalized, but the executive summary from this report states that a centrally located accommodation in the heart of historic downtown Aiken is currently proposing to expand its operations through a major renovation effort over the next 12 months. This renovation would expand the current capacity of the hotel from 62 to 80 rooms and modernize all hotel facilities. There are 4 or 5 different economic drivers here that I'd like for you guys to hear just for the record. The total economic impact resulting from all activities associated with the renovation of Hotel Aiken in downtown Aiken is estimated to be approximately $11.7 million. It's a big number. The total economic impact that comes about through the renovation of the Hotel Aiken will yield an employment multiplier of 1.6. That's also fantastic for our restaurateurs and retail shops. Upon completion of the renovation, the annual economic impact of the Hotel Aiken will increase by nearly 200%, from $532,000 to $1.57 million, assuming that the occupancy rate remains at its current level of 30%. If the occupancy rate doubles to the state average of 60, the annual total economic impact of the Hotel Aiken will increase from $532,000 to $3.1 million. Approximately 24% of the total economic impact arising from the operation of the Hotel Aiken comes from the retail and dining industries. This implies that upon completion of all renovations, the Hotel Aiken would generate an increase in annual activity in the retail and dining industries of between $254,000 and $640,000, depending on the occupancy rate of the hotel. I speak on behalf of Aiken Downtown Development as its previous vice chair. think several of those members are here tonight. Our survey of those members recently in the past month, overwhelming over 97% supported this vote for change. I don't think a lot of them would probably be willing to stand up here tonight and tell you that they support it publicly because they're afraid of what it could do to their businesses and restaurants. Some of them have taken the higher road and voiced their opinion. But as a previous chair and a young professional, I can tell you that our downtown is not as great as what some may say it is. Greenville and Charleston have obviously done the things that others have gone to see. We're on the cutting edge of making some changes that could be very, very impactful for not only our youth, but senior citizens and so forth. So those numbers are indicative of my support, and hopefully you support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share a thought?
My name is Rick Cram. I'm 118 Surrey Circle. I've been producing equestrian events in Aiken since 87, and I think that one of the keys to the success of the shows that we've put on here has been what was then the Holly Hotel. I have mixed emotions on being opposed to this or for it. I can say that my client base flocks to the Aiken Hotel. When they can't get a room there, they go out on 19 and they find another location. The convenience of the facility right downtown to be able to go to the restaurants, bars, shopping is what they're in town for. That's obviously the equestrian event that we produce that brought them here. But the perk to them is to be able to stay in this central location and frequent their favorite restaurants and places to go. In recent years, due to lack of improvements, I think, to the facility, we have had several people move to different new modern chain hotels. So if the goal, as was just identified, is to bring revenue to downtown and to try to increase support to the local businesses of downtown Aiken, then something has to be done, and an improvement to that facility, whether it's a new structure that brings about the renovation to the old structure, that would be good. I'd be very much in support of that, and I can say that my client base would as well.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? Yes.
Charlotte Weedman, and I'm still on Hayne. Rick brings up a good point about the state of the hotel, but in all of those things, in improving the hotel and making it a desirable place once again, as it's been desirable since 1898, is maintenance on the hotel. And all of the maintenance that's required on that hotel is completely possible within the current height limitation. And the economic study that Mr. Raven speaks about, I thought I heard him say that it's going from 68 rooms to 80 rooms. And that's 12, isn't it? And so that's a really huge number for 12 rooms. I understand. I mean, wow, that's very impressive. 12 rooms can do that much. So I look forward to when Ann Thomason has her rooms up and running, because that was, I believe, what, 38 rooms? So that should be even more amazing, and people should be seeing the effects from that. But again, it's all been accomplished within the current guidelines. And one other thing, too, that Mr. Williams brought up was that he said his clients aren't really looking for the lodging choices downtown. So he has to take them to the south side, which is just anywhere downtown or anywhere USA. Well, if you put a franchise hotel downtown, it's anywhere USA as well. So,
thank you.
You can hear what they're not.
Yes, yes, you do. Sorry, so it's just so that we can capture it on the record.
Absolutely. I still live at Coker Springs Drive still as well. Jason Rabin, 62, not 68, 62 to 80. And this study was done by the Moore School of Business from Columbia, Dr. Joey Von Nessen. So he does this for multiple municipalities and economic development partnerships and so forth across the nation. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? All right. Yeah. Yes.
My name is Philip Jordan. I live at 112 Green Ash Court. And my business partner is Jeffrey. We have the Trio Bar and Kitchen downtown here. And I'd like to start out by saying I don't have a prepared statement because I didn't really plan on speaking tonight. But I'd just like to say that I'm very much in approval of the height increase. One of the best ways to sort of get a point across is to tell a story. And about 3 weeks ago, we had a guest in the restaurant. He was a medical sales individual from Greenville. And he sits down at the bar, and, you know, he has we're talking, and he's got a nice meal. And, you know, we start talking. He goes, "I just love your town." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he actually started to try to solicit some business from me, that type of thing, being a salesman like that. And he said, "You know, I really have to tell you, I've really enjoyed being down here." He goes, "But I'm checking out of my hotel tonight when I leave here." I said, "Well, why is that?" He goes, "I'm at the Aiken Hotel." And he goes, "It is just not up to my standard." He said, "I travel all over the Southeast, stay in downtown Charleston, downtown, you know, Greenville, different places like that." And he said, "It really, unfortunately, is just a really poor hotel." And, you know, and I told him, I said, "You know, the owners of the hotel are very well aware of how it's going. And they're trying to do something about it." So they're just getting caught up in the ability to renovate, et cetera. And, but for the, I was born and raised in Aiken, like I said before, in the city council meeting at the old tax office, and moved away for about 16 years for college and school and everything, and came back here because I love this town. And honestly, for the first time, I was really kind of embarrassed at how things are run here. If these gentlemen would have been given the opportunity to grow and build their business the way that they see fit, because they're the hotel owners, they're the owner of the property, that gentleman that was in my business would have had an altogether different experience. And he says to me, "I'm going right across town. I found a Holiday Inn Express I'm going to stay at, right?" And he goes, "Unfortunately, I probably won't ever really come down here anymore because I'll be staying in North Augusta from now on." So the point is, if the Shaw family would have been given the ability to grow their business the way that they want to, instead of folks trying to run their business for them, he would have had an altogether different experience. How many times in a week does that happen? How many times does that happen that we never hear about? How many times does that happen that these folks are just not going to come back downtown? And I know Southside has to have, you know, business and things like that, but guess what? I don't own a restaurant on the Southside, so it doesn't really matter to me. If this was a Southside conversation and I ever had a restaurant on the Southside, I would, you know, it would be the same situation. But currently, I'm getting ready to build a new office on the Southside, and if I needed a 55-foot, 56-foot building, whatever, I wouldn't be able to do it. And you know what? Honestly, as a business owner, that is very discouraging. When I know that there are other cities that I could go to right now and build a business, build a life unencumbered. So I'm very much in approval of the addition. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Jordan, just so that you feel a little bit more encouraged, we are only talking about the downtown business for this.
Thank you.
You might still be safe on the south side.
Appreciate it.
All right, is there anyone else that we'd like to hear from? Okay. Our next step is to turn it back to the commission for a motion. And before I do that, though, I would like to exercise a little prerogative and make a comment. I am personally delighted, and I know that our fellow commissioners share that we have this many of you present today. This is what we really like to see, is all of the engagement of folks and the very civil and gracious dialogue and expression of opinions. And I will tell you that we have listened to all of you very carefully, and everything that has been said will be weighed very carefully in making our decision. So I personally want to thank all of you for attending this evening. And now I will turn it back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman, I would like to make a motion that we approve a zoning ordinance to allow the maximum building height in the downtown business DB district to change from 50 feet to 55 feet.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion?
Yes, sir. Is the 55-foot a truly solid plan by the Shaws? In other words, if we approve this, will they end up building at 50 feet, and we've gone through all this for nothing? Can anyone speak to that?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I would say that when we change an ordinance, we're trying to do is think about the global good. I mean, I know the Shaws are the impetus for looking at this, but this should not be done on behalf of any one business. This should be a global change to the ordinance that we feel has merit for anyone or any business who would want to do this.
By the same token, if we're changing the ordinance based on one business's request, I don't think it's an unreasonable request to have my question answered.
No, I mean, it's not. I'm just saying that isn't, you know, what we factored in. Is Mr. Shaw here? Okay, would you step forward and answer that question, please? Please.
Good evening. Neil Shaw, 141 Common North Way here in Aiken, South Carolina. To answer your question, our building is designed at 55 feet.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And those are your definite plans?
That is correct.
Entered into agreements with the city for that, for permits and so forth for that height?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
I'm just asking if there's still any uncertainty with the city in terms of...
I could address that. Until we get some plans, Mr. Shaw hasn't had an opportunity to... hadn't designed the hotel yet. Once the design and architectural plans are done, they'll be submitted to the city for permitting. And for a project like this, we're still a long way off from the city issuing the building permit for it.
But, Mr. Shaw, your intention is, if this is approved, you will continue very definitely with the plan to utilize the construction around that height.
That is correct.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
It does. I just have one more question.
Certainly.
Just for the record, I just let me be honest. 5 feet doesn't – it's not going to keep me up tonight, another 5 feet. In fact, I don't think necessarily that that it's going to destroy the character of downtown, another 5 feet. I just like to see some more definite plans. Things just seem to change. Well, it might be this height, it might be that height, it might be Hilton, it might not. Well, we might have a parking garage, we might not. We might put an annex on for more rooms, we might not. And all I'm saying is, with that much uncertainty, it's just...
But Commissioner Covich, those we're only dealing with the height issue in this motion. Any of those other items would have to come up as a separate item, and you would have another opportunity to revisit it.
May I move to suspend the rules for discussion?
Yes, that would be good. May I have a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. Our rules have been suspended so that we may engage in further discussion. Commissioners, any of you all want to weigh in on your thoughts?
Well, I would just weigh in to the extent that you talk about the overall comprehensive plan. There's a lot in that comprehensive plan.
a lot of things. Basically, the city planning department found that this did not violate the comprehensive plan. The part of the goals of the comprehensive plan are to preserve older buildings whenever possible, encourage renovation wherever possible instead of tearing down a historic building or building, support as a general rule renovation over demolition and rebuilding where circumstances permit in order to preserve Aiken character and charm. We have a man here who is willing to do that, in my opinion. He's willing to try to preserve the hotel to the extent possible. And I think that it's a reasonable request.
And I would remind all the commissioners that making this change merely allows him to proceed with a plan, which will still have to go through all the channels, will still come back through us to get some recommendations. First, of course, it'll go through planning department, then it'll come back to the planning commission, then it'll go back to the city council. So, you know, there are some checks and balances.
Right. I understand, and again, 5 feet, it just doesn't bother me.
Well, and that's
I'll sleep
about.
Well tonight.
Okay.
But it's just, I just want it brought to light that there's a lot of unanswered questions. No one can deny that. And there's a lot of uncertainty. No one can deny that. And I think before we proceed forward, we at least have to acknowledge that those exist. But again, 5 feet's not going to keep me up tonight.
As they would exist in any plan of this nature. There's nothing weird or unusual about those unanswered questions existing in this scenario. They would exist in any scenario like this, any development of this nature.
I disagree. You mean with a parking garage and maybe an annex and maybe a rooftop bar and maybe Hilton, maybe a Radisson?
Anybody trying to make this kind of a commitment and building and change would have... We're not at the Planning Commission, we're not able to sit here and analyze every single aspect of what this is going to be. You could ask the same questions that you ask about any major development in downtown Aiken.
And in fairness, I mean, there has to be some wiggle room. You have a concept that doesn't engineer out. Things change. I understand that. I'm just saying that there are many in the community that are just a little concerned about the uncertainty and unanswered questions with this project as a whole. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there certainly are always going to be, as has been stated, some uncertainties, but I think the really good news is that at every step of the way, those will be addressed in a fair way and looked at, and then decisions can be made on those. So by approving this particular aspect, we're not in any way approving the unknowns.
Right. And it even states in the master plan that we develop incentives for improvements and preservation of the buildings that are important to us. And if it's necessary, because I like the Hotel Aiken, and when I first came to Aiken literally about 36 years ago, it was one of the places that I visited. But I also understand that it's deteriorating and it does not reflect well on this community. It has a nice exterior, you know, but if you look on the inside and it's just not what I like to think represents Aiken. And yes, I can send my friends that come to town to the south side to stay at the Hilton Garden Inn, or they can stay wherever, but they're not going to stay in Aiken and experience the Aiken that everybody loves. So if we're looking to the future, then we have to follow these guidelines in the old Aiken master plan, which say, develop the incentives for the preservation of the older homes and of the buildings that contribute to the character of Aiken. And I think by looking at just this little 5-foot increase, you know, any addition is going to be on the back. The character of that building can be preserved, and we'll have something to be proud of. And if it's a small step to start with, then it's a small step to start with. Personally, I voted for the bigger increase because I did. But we are given this directive in the old master plan, and if we are given this directive in addition to the other things that you presented, I think we should follow.
Commissioner DeBrule,
yes.
I agree with you 100%.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, Mr. Shaw, I just for the record, I I'm looking forward to seeing your hotel redone. I've been a guest in your bar more times than I care to admit. I've stayed in there. I've been in a band who played there till 1:30 in the morning many, many times, and I do think it anchors downtown. And I pledge to you that when you get that thing redone, I'll be the first person around the room.
Maybe.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I had a question.
Any other questions while Mr. Shaw is here?
Yes, I do. And we'll start out with Mr. Paradise. If the building went to 55 feet and that was the limit, does that limit any towers or antennas that go on top of it?
Towers and antenna. There are certain things that are exempt from the height regulations. Towers and antennas. HVAC.
HVAC
could
go on top of it. The HVAC is going pop out there. The antennas on top of the building, I'm not sure. The elevator penthouse is an exemption to the height requirements. Some towers are. I'd have to look at the book and give you
I just
better.
Echo Kent. That's just one that came up. I mean, I'm supporting of it as well, but I just have that. I don't want a surprise to come back and... Of course, we're just a recommending body at this point, but I just wanted to maybe clarify that.
Give me just a second. Let me see. Steeples and spires, fires and parapet, fire and parapet walls, flagpoles, communication towers, silos, water tanks or standpipes, any other similar structures, cooling towers, gas containers, elevator penthouses, skylights, stairways, or ventilating fans, chimneys and smokestacks. All of those are exempt from the height regulations.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Okay. While we have Mr. Shaw here, is there anyone else that has a question for him? Thank you, Mr. Shaw.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right. Any other discussion?
We need to reinstate the rules.
All right. May I have a second? All in favor? Okay. All right. Now, we do have a motion which has been duly seconded, so I will call for the vote. All in favor of amending the DB zone to allow the 5-foot increase, please signify. Okay. All right. This will be our recommendation to City Council. It will be heard on October 26th. And again, thank you all for your comments and your support of the process. And now I'm going to pause for a moment. I'm sure not everyone wants to stay for the last item. Going to pause for a moment till this clears, and then we will hear your application.
No, don't wait long.
No.
I got a date.
I better be with your wife.
That's right. I want to look out that window. So, let me see. Is it Mary?
Well.
I think it went well.
I felt like we were back in the kitchen.
Any chance for dinner tonight?
Yes, it's good.
Yes.
I'm out of here.
Just not as early as you'd like. All right. Let's move on to our last item for this evening, and that is a proposed amendment to the zoning ordinance to allow a recreational vehicle camp as an accessory use. Anyone who would like to speak in favor of it? Yes.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Rick Cram, 118 Surrey Circle. I'm the owner of Highfields Event Center. I just feels like I cleared a room, but I guess it wasn't my purpose. I put some highlights together here on this RV park proposal. Took a Google map picture so that it would be clear to understand that the property that I'm proposing to purchase isn't road frontage on Richland Avenue, and that the proposed RV park is not going to be a right off the asphalt road of Richland Avenue is the entrance to our lovely city. You can see where the road splits there and the boulevard begins. Welcome to the All-American City, Aiken, South Carolina. And there's not going to be an RV park right there on your right. It will be secluded behind the in-depth landscaping requirements that I'm going to have to adhere to, and bordering in the tree line that on the other side is the 60-acre facility that I own. So I just wanted to share that with you because I didn't bring that in our last meeting or any of the meetings we've had, I don't believe, to give you the visual of exactly the location of where that sits. I know that that was brought up in a couple conversations I've had over the last month with some folks that were interested in understanding exactly the depth of it. The rest of the points I've touched on to you in person over the last couple meetings. And we'd love to answer any questions.
All right. Commissioners, any questions?
So your property's on this side?
Yes, ma'am.
And whose is this?
Well, if we start from the edge of the picture there, that's Gaston Road, a dirt road.
Uh-huh.
That leads up to the entrance of Highfields Event Center.
Right.
So there's a 60-acre parcel that's excluded from this shot. This was some time ago, the Aiken Housing retailer there has moved his inventory onto the bypass, and those mobile homes don't sit there on the road any longer, but he is reconstructing and continuing to refurbish mobile homes pretty much in the proposed yellow line area of the back of that property. That's owned by the Timmermans, Colleen Timmerman has that chunk. And the piece I'm proposing to buy, and her brother owns the other two there that run up to the Richland Avenue. So that's Timmerman's Vet Clinic right there on the corner, Biddle Mobility, Greg's Gas Plus, off to the right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was one other. Can I ask one about that?
Certainly.
So there was one other thing that, and this might make this a little easier for you, actually, in the long run. So if you look on item C, so page 2, item C at the top of the page, where it was going to ask you to require each vehicle to display a permit. In thinking about recreational vehicles, we know that they come in all different sizes and shapes, and some are motorhomes, and some are fifth wheels, and some are trailers, and it would be a little hard to display a permit on that. So we were thinking that it might be easier, since you have to have a pole there which designates the lot number, right, or the space number.
Space number.
If you might not if it might work better to have the permit affixed to that pole. In other words, to have a plastic sleeve there or something about the size so it would be easy for the inspector to come by and see.
Okay.
And you just change it and take it out and put a new one in.
All right.
Would that be...
I think that would be a good solution, certainly. I was envisioning them displayed in the unit themselves in a window or you know, to be visible to someone.
Then you'd have to get out of a car and actually walk around.
That is true
to inspect
that, to make sure that there is a permit, you know, available. Would the just on a side note of the permit, is that something that I would be responsible for producing?
Mm-hmm.
And it would contain the information that you all would
dictate
to me, right?
I think it says it has to have the lot number, the name, the reason that they're there.
Okay.
Well, basically, it would just say blank and blank.
The license plate number.
Right, and then July 2nd through July 8th or July
okay.
whatever.
The dates, not to exceed 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it would stay there as long as the RV was there, and then they would turn that into you.
Okay. Now, I'm envisioning power, water, sewer on the back of each of the spaces, as well as identifying the number of the space in one basic bore that I was going to put the power on, put the water on, and the sewer drop, and have spot number 3.
Right.
So it wouldn't be like you could drive up in a car to be able to see the permit. You would have to actually get to the...
Yeah, there's no way you're going to be able to drive up in a car, even with what you're talking about.
No,
Susan.
What I'm talking
about... You're going to have to get out and walk in through. Look.
All right, so if you can imagine that this is the drive-in space here, right there. So you have your utility poles back here.
Yeah.
At the front of the space, there would be a small, maybe 3 to 4 foot... 4x4 thing that has lot 3 and a plastic. They do this at campgrounds at Modoc.
Okay.
That's what made me think of
all
it.
Right.
And it's so easy to ride by to see if the space is reserved, who's there, when they're leaving,
okay.
and that sort of thing. It would just be a lot easier on you, too.
Okay.
Actually.
All right. I'm willing to do that for certain, yes.
Okay.
Rick, I got a couple. The main entrance, the formal entrance to this area will be where off Gaston Road?
Yep. I'm going to keep it through the same entrance that I have, which is just at the top left-hand corner. You can see the right-hand drive. There's right. actually two drives with a boulevard there. And I'm going to blow down the edge line a little bit there and create a road that leads right on the... parallel to the existing road that I have that runs that tree line.
Is this going to be a dirt road or a paved road?
I'm going to gravel.
Gravel. And would you be planting a sign? Not that has anything to do with this, but I'm just curious. Are you looking to do signage out there as well?
Out where?
Out there at Gaston Road, right there at the entrance, because it's a block off of the bypass.
I just have a simple little High Fields Event Center sign there. And then when you get into the interior, I would have an RV...
Because you're not looking for the drive-by business so much as you're looking
no.
for the...
Okay.
And then I want to talk real quick about utility access. Is it your opinion that the city of Aiken will be providing utility access and paying for that? And up until what point? If we were to approve this and it was recommended to council, I mean, is your understanding that the city would come in and make a loop of the pipe and you would take off from the pipe to the spot, or
I educated myself early on this winter gained a lot of knowledge on where the sewer line stops and the ability to have city pay for it to access my property, and then I would have to have a lift station installed.
Is that something that you're going to pay for?
I would go ahead and engineer that out, get a total cost on it, and I would propose to have some assistance for that.
Because, you know, as you've heard in other times, I'm a big advocate, but I'm also a big steward of the city's money, so I'm concerned as well if I recommend something to someone that I've thought out what is it going to cost the city of Aiken as well.
Yep. So. It's a very short run. I don't have that...
schematic with me, but when I had Tilden go out and survey it, I think the distance was 380 feet from the current stopping point of the sewer line on Gaston Road to get it to an adjacent to my property. And then we'd have to go under Gaston Road to get it to my property line.
Right.
And that's where the city was willing to get it to.
Right.
A conversation and a verbal conversation.
They bring it to your line.
They didn't put much, I don't think we put a pencil to it to understand dollars and cents on that.
Right.
And then I would have to bring it up the 1,800 feet
right.
that it would carry through.
That's
that
the main thing, I think.
That's the main thing
I was thinking about, is that line off of the X-axis.
Trying to do it without a lift station was my goal, because that's about a $48,000
expense. Yeah, that's expensive. That's going to be expensive.
And they seemed to think initially, without doing anything more than put a transit on it, that it would.
I think you've explained your understanding is that you would be responsible from the line up to these spaces.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
All right. Any other questions for Mr. Cram?
So the reason that I suggested that is because in number 6 it says that you shall have an individually designated site number. The number shall be no less than 6 inches high reflective and be permanently attached to a pole, blah, 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 on the site, and it must be plainly legible and visible from the internal streets. So if you were initially considering only putting it at the back of the site on the power pole, it probably or may not be visible from the street.
Considering the permits being given to the tenants as they arrive, when they come to the office to get a key to unlock the power of the sewer and check in, then they would be issued the permit that they would display in their unit, mm-hmm. which is how we've done it at different facilities that I've leased around the country. And I thank you for refreshing my memory on number 6, and putting a pole up is quite easy enough to do. So
yeah, I think, you know, and you can still give them the permit and they can slide it in, but
it's consistent. And then with code enforcement or whatever, it's so much easier for you to be able to come out.
It is, if you know exactly where it's going to be. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposite with the new one? Okay. So it is back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman, I would move that the commission, with regard to the zoning ordinance to allow a recreational vehicle camp as an accessory use, that we approve the amendment to Chapter 3, Article 4, Accessory Uses of Zoning Ordinance, known as Recreational Vehicle Park, and with the changes that the planning department has made on our sheet. And there was some additional language, wasn't there?
Right.
On item C.
On item 1C.
On item 1C, C1.
Mm-hmm. That the permit be affixed to the site identification pole.
Okay.
Which will be readily visible from the internal street.
I make that as part of the motion.
Can I add just one quick thing to the motion? I'd also like to state, just so those that City Council at all who get our decision also know, that this is really a part of very standard equestrian operations, and it's not something out of the ordinary in the equestrian business. Just so they know why we're making our decision.
It's justification.
All right. Are you all right
second.
With that?
Found it.
Second.
All right. All in favor? All right. Mr. Cram, you're on your way. This will be held, reviewed by City Council on October
26th.
Thank you very much. Recreational vehicle camp be changed to park. to...
Where are you?
Just under reference here in the first part of the memorandum here, proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance to allow a recreational vehicle camp.
Park.
Can that be considered park as opposed to camp?
Wait a minute.
The ordinance says recreational vehicle park. So it's title.
Yeah, he's referring to this.
Where? In the memo?
In the memo. But what counts is, if you look at the first page of the proposed amendment, which is, if you'll just turn that.
Oh, sorry. Yep.
Okay, this says 3.4.8 recreational vehicle park.
I see it.
That is the actual language that will be used.
Okay, yes, ma'am. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Although, if you have a sound fire, we'll call it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Good. Yeah. Appreciate it.